Dungeons and Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Hollow Street Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusader. Greetings, Crusader. Shut up! Greetings, Crusaders! Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 18, recording Saturday, September 19th, 2015, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I'll kick you again. I will kick you again, I swear. I am Katsu, and I am pleased to share... Well, I'm not going to share the fleet's Vox Relay today, but Gigabyte's here. He was going to... You know, he is the lucky guy who got into Founder Access before I did, so I put a bag over his head and I gagged him, and he will... Well, okay, that's... You shut up! You're on the computer, you should just be happy with yourself, anyway. Alright, fine, here, take the bag off your head. God, there. I'm pleased to share the Fleet's Vox Relay with Gigabyte. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too good. That bag was stuffy.
Yeah, it's where I put people who try to talk about Founder Access.
Not fair.
Anyway. Oh, not fair? We're going to have a whole episode of Not Fair, brother. Anyway. So yes, I am Katsu. He is Gigabyte. We are here to talk about the latest and greatest of Eternal Crusade, which is now live-ish in alpha. Yay. You know, so let's get, I don't know, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to talk about some things, and we're going to figure out where we go from here, and I don't think we really set up for a lore segment, but there's been a bunch of stuff happening in the wide world of 40K that we'll actually get a chance to cover today.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So we will start with the current state of Founder Access. In a post on the forums, which has been a great place to visit, let me tell you, Nathan stated that there were approximately 6,000 founders at the captain or above level. And as it stands currently, on the 14th, they let in 300 people, 15th, 300. Steam was having some trouble generating keys for them on the 16th. But on the 17th, they let in 1,000. On the 18th, they let in 1,500. And Nathan has insinuated that they want to maintain this 1,000 to 1,500 pace. So
yeah, sort of per sort of wave, I suppose.
Per day or per, you know. Yeah. Basically, they've been trying to do... They said they've got the server space to accommodate all the founders right now. Or all the captains, at least. And so... they said they're going to try and shoot for 750 to 1,000 a day, basically. They let in 1,500 on the 18th, yesterday, so that they could accommodate over the weekend kind of deal. That being said, in this week's End of the Warp, Nathan specifically said... Oh, did you just spoil something? I hear an alarm. Did you just post something about... Okay, fine.
No.
I heard an alarm. I wanted to make sure you weren't posting something about Founder Access and the Katie police come get us.
Oh, no, I'm posting in the Alpha Lounge.
Oh, you bastard. Anyway. Anyway. So, but Nathan mentioned in End of the Warp that, I lost my train of thought. That's never
been. There wasn't going to be any over the weekend, I think.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't going to be any over the weekend. But they, you know, this just kind of gives them a chance to do their thing and make sure that everybody gets in. Oh, what Nathan was saying. This is the thing. Back that train up.
what Nathan was saying was that approximately half of the keys that have gone out have been redeemed. So check your spam folders, check your everything else. Just because you are a day one captain, or just because you are a week into the founder access captain, or Dawn of the Imperium or Heresy or whatever, well, that does not mean you aren't in yet.
Well, there was another trouble with keys, if I remember rightly, because I was one of the people that got a quote-unquote premature key. There was a few people that had keys sitting on their founder sheet, and when we went to Steam to try and redeem them, nothing happened. So everyone went to forums and was like, oh, what's going on? And it turns out that they were sent out prematurely.
Yeah, well, let's back this up, because the thing is this. This rollout, first off, it's an alpha rollout. It's all in development. Everything's this, right? It's not, you know, let's not go and immediately gloom and doom this. This is not a launch failure. Mm-hmm. This is an alpha hiccup. And I think that if you've gone to the forums the last couple of days, particularly if you've gone into the Founder Lounge, you're going to see a lot of vitriol and a lot of hate generated about just the entire process and about the devs and how there's this super secret conspiracy that only the devs know about and blah, 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 blah. Troll, troll, troll. And it's
it's 40K.
it's headed up by about the same five people. But the point of the matter is, first off, this is a 40K property, which means your haters are going to be rabid haters. It's not going to be like, I don't like you, so I'm just going to sit here and shut up until you do something. No, no, no. These are going to be the people that really light a fire under people's asses about things. But also, you're dealing with, let's put it this way. As of right now, if this were only Captain's Access going out, right? People spent $40 for it. I love founders. I love all founders of all levels. But if you only spent $40 and you can't get into your Whittle Founder Access for an extra 2 or 3 days, then you can shut up about it. You know, it's $40, and that's that. And I understand the frustration of paying for something, but here's where else I'm going for it. So you're a sergeant. You paid $80 to get in. I can understand being a little frustrated at being delayed a couple of days. If you're a captain or above, you have spent anywhere between $120 all the way up to, what is it, $500 to get early access to all of this cool swag, and to be told you're going to be let in on a first-come, first-served basis, and to be told that, you know, you're just going to have to wait your turn. I understand how frustrating it is, especially when what happened when Founder Access happened is that the keys have not been going out first come first serve. They've been coming out really, really erratic. To give you an idea, and I did check, Darren, this is not a violation of your NDA.
That's fine.
Gigabyte is in Founder Access, and I have not gotten into Founder Access yet. Which, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, you know that I was actually ahead of Gig in the queue. But I guess this is the fact that I do have some English in me somewhere. I don't actually mind standing in queue. I'm a firm believer.
Probably some English in you somewhere.
I am a firm believer in the concept of a line. There are people ahead of me. There are people behind me. When it's my turn, I'll get there. And it does frustrate me a little bit that, you know, in the essence of fairness, it does frustrate me a little bit that I effectively paid for your access before mine. But
it's true.
But that being said, you know, when they're letting in 1,000 a day, I mean, when back then they were letting in 300 at a time, that might have been a little something. But when they're letting in 1,000 a day, like, I'm not going to get too brokenhearted about it, especially since it's going to happen eventually. And this is the first week they're getting all the crap sorted out. You know how you never buy. You know how you never buy a game system or a computer like the day it comes out because of all the crap that happens? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm good with the, you know, 3101. There are 3101 keys released right now, and I am perfectly okay with that 3101 sitting there and screwing up my game experience so that when I finally come in, I will have a game worth playing and testing.
That's a good point.
But like I said, at 1,000 a day, if we've got 6,000 captain founders, then you're looking at Monday 1,000, Tuesday 1,000, Wednesday 1,000. So unless Steam screws them up, I'll be into the game by Wednesday at the latest. You know what I'm saying? So latest, it's not the end of the world, you know? Especially since, like, this week I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, okay? And then I've got the weekend off. So, and even then, on those days, I get off at 3 in the afternoon. So,
nice.
Well, I go in at 5 in the morning, so kiss my ass. But, but the point of the matter is, if I get an email, most of these emails haven't even gone out before 2 o'clock Central Time. So most of the early keys haven't gone out before 2 Central Time. So I go to work, let's see, Monday I'll have off. Tuesday, if they send out and that happens to be my key day, then I'll find out that it's my key day an hour before I get off work. Oh no. You know? Same thing with Thursday, and then by then it should be available, and then it's the weekend, and I have not only 2 days off, but I've got about 5 or 6 days off, so, you know, it doesn't hurt my, and I will occupy their servers. It'll be, like, you don't understand, like, I wasn't really talking all that much about my Draenor experience when I went into World of Warcraft when Draenor released, but I went, like, deep submergent submarine mode in Draenor, and I disappeared into my desktop for like 2 weeks straight.
Nice.
I mean, short of going to work. So anyway.
So if we don't have an episode, then we know what's happened to you.
Well, no. I will come up. I will definitely come up for that. Especially since, and this is the other cool thing, you're still under the NDA. And they're trying to lift the NDA as quickly as possible. So, as long as, I mean, whenever they delay us, it's just prolonging, or just getting us closer to the lifting of the NDA, which, because we're broadcasters, like, I'm waiting. I can't wait to Twitch this out. You know, I can't wait to put this on the Holosuite thing and show everybody, because, yeah. So, I mean, this is really, I mean, fun. This is the culmination. I mean, let's not lie to ourselves here, and I understand this is part of the passion point. Some of our founders, some of the Eternal Crusade founders, have been sitting here praying at the altar of the Emperor since before Dark Millennium. You know?
I'll screw that up and making sacrifices to the Chaos Gods.
Of course you would, Space Wolf. Anyway.
It's the only way to get it out.
But what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying. Like, some of the people that are founders for this game have been sitting here praying for an MMO since Dark Millennium, or since, you know, any of the video games that have come out before then even. It's like, oh, now's the perfect time to jump into the MMO market. You know, especially even back during the WoW's Lich King phase, which was sort of the highlight of the MMO movement. There's been I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that have sort of heralded the end of the MMO age, you know.
All right.
Rise of the MOBA, rise of eSport and all. Well, I'm not saying they're wrong. But the thing is, you know, no one can argue that back in the day, you couldn't throw a rock without hitting a massively multiplayer online RPG. And, you know, a lot of shooters had multiplayer, but they weren't, you know, massive multiplayers a la PlanetSide and all these other games. And that tradition has sort of waned a little bit. But anyway. Founders Access. So a while back there was a question about, an episode or two ago, we were talking about the NDA and how it's going to apply. Nathan clarified that if a statement comes from the developers, then it circumvents the NDA. And if that quote, and if what the developers tell you is a direct quote from a founder that is testing, then that is permissible under the NDA, because that's the developers releasing it, not us. So, like, Darren can't, you know, Gigabyte can't talk about the game right now, but if Katie or Nathan or somebody quotes Gigabyte, then that's not a breach of NDA.
That's right.
So which is why we're trying to be as kind of generic as we can about about things, because I trust me, as soon as we have the ability to both be in, it's going to be like, oh my god, oh yeah, we're recording, that's right, and you're going to be like, Katsu, are you playing right now? And I'm like, no. And when I say no, that's when I'll suddenly see Gigabyte HSM has entered the map, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, log out. Anyway, so lots of cool stuff going on with Founder Access. It's going to be an awesome time once I get in. I'm convinced that it's because I didn't get Katie diamonds and flowers. I sent her a picture on Facebook of a kid knocking on a door holding flowers, and she was like, diamonds? And I was like, no, there's a cultist running around the ship somewhere named Diamonds, and she's like, then back of the line, you! And I was like, oh, crap. And at first I thought, haha, fun joke, and then next thing you know, I'm like watching everybody get in, and I'm like, Katsu's sad.
Gigabyte Katsu gets in, you're like, ah.
Gigabyte gets in, Katsu's sad, bad medicine. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, all of that, Founder Access, and obviously Founder Access is sort of going to become a new segment for us as we talk about Eternal Crusade, because obviously the more we can talk about it, the more we're going to talk about it, you know?
Oh, hells yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so to give you an idea, according to reports and according to the developers, we're about halfway through the key distribution for Captain Access. And then, of course, at that point, we'll start phasing in the sergeants and phasing in the warriors and progressively increasing the war. Speaking of Into the Warp, Warp. Yeah, see, you like that segue? It's
pretty cool. Ooh, that Warp was tenuous.
It was, wasn't it? So we had Brent, Katie, Nathan. We also reintroduced to Mathieu, who was back, a sound guy. And we also had Maxime Goulet. Is that it?
Maxime Goulet. Yeah.
I don't know. He is the composer. He worked on the Amazing Spider-Man video game. He worked on Brothers in Arms. He's got a list of stuff that he's been the composer for. Worked on all the background music, et cetera, et cetera. It was really, really nice. They gave an audio presentation. First off, they interviewed Maxime, and then they gave the audio presentation, which was a piece-by-piece breakdown of the Space Marine and the Chaos background kind of musical themes. And they did was like, okay, well, this is a choir, this is the choir, and these are the musical instruments, and then this is this specific instrument, and this is what they sound like all mixed together. And it was a really cool thing, especially if you do any kind of audio engineering or audio editing. It's cool to watch how those specific sounds, which seem so discordant, you know, they don't seem like they'd go together, and then you overlay them all, and it's this beautiful musical thing. You know, it kind of reminds me of there's that song by Daft Punk, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, where they're saying different words and it's all disjointed. And then as they speed it up and overlay it, it turns into this, you know, this awesome musical line. So there was that.
They showed a little. They played a little bit of the Chaos Power sounds as well, didn't they? Did you catch that?
Yeah. Well, they did. They did the Chaos. Then they did the, or they did the Marine. They did the Chaos. I like the whispering. The whispering sounds fun.
That was very good.
I think I'm gonna play Chaos just simply to listen to things whisper. Do you hear the voices too? You know. But by way of production update, they did some balance on the Stalker Bolter, because they've slowed down, obviously they slowed down the Bolt Gun, but they didn't slow down the Stalker. So they slowed it down a little bit, increased it, you know, decreased its grouping distance for the rounds, so they're a little more accurate, which is what the Stalker Bolter is supposed to be, reduce recoil, you know, things like that. They're also looking at doing some balancing on the Devastator, which I horrifically misspelled in the show notes, but they're rebalancing the heavy weapon in terms of setup, in terms of turning, and stuff like that. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the Q&A, where we talked about the role of the plasma cannon versus the heavy bolter and the las cannon. They stated that the plasma cannon can first off charge fire, and second off it can actually arc over cover, which will be a good thing to have, especially if you're wanting to slag a vehicle that's hidden behind a rock formation or something like that. Plasma is always kind of a wicked, awesome battle toy, even though it's dangerous to use. I don't know yet. Gig can't tell me so. They were also talking about movement when you're in the critical state. And the critical state is defined as if you have been downed and you're doing the baby crawl, if you have received kind of an attaboy up and at 'em from your teammates, there's a period of time where your entire screen is grayscale and you're like clutching at your side or whatever and you're not as accurate and things like that. Somebody suggested you change the movement so you look hurt or something like that. Brent specifically said that they didn't feel like it needed to be added or changed. You're already punished enough with the screen going gray, and you're not really able to see things very well, and you're already suppressed. So they really didn't feel like you needed to be further hampered by that. And this is so bad. Because, like, I want to ask you, I'm like, how do you feel about that? But at the same time, like, anything I ask you will be just like, yeah, no, I can't say anything about it.
I want to make a comment on it as well, but I can't.
Well, yeah, you can. Let me see how you can do this. And you can always say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable with this, and that's fine. But based on what you saw on the Q&A portion. No, they didn't show it. Damn it. So we can't even go that way. I feel like, how can I talk him around what I'm trying to do? Movement in the critical state, they don't really feel like it needs to be changed. Question was brought up about the direction that the team wants to go in terms of the mini-map. They stated that... What they want to add to the mini-map. And they said, first off, they're pretty comfortable with the way the mini-map works now. And that the mini-map, if you shoot, if you are an assault marine and you jump, you use your booster. If you are spotted by another player, like they put you in your crosshairs and hit Q, or if someone shoots you, then you will ping on the mini-map, and in the case of someone shooting you, their squad mates will see you ping on the mini-map, so they'll know where you are. They'll know why there's this random gunfire going off. I think that this was on the gameplay. the way I looked at it, like, I think those are all the essential things that need to ping on a mini-map. Otherwise, you start running into UI clutter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that.
And we've talked about UI. We've talked about a crappy UI killing a good game, you know. You start adding too much to a user interface, it starts just getting unwieldy and horrific to pilot. But then, kind of going backwards a little bit, there was gameplay. And this is weird because, like, we can comment on the gameplay that they have shown us, but you can't comment on things that have happened in the game. And Darren has just put the bag over his head, and he's like, I don't even want to know. Nope, not even going to talk about it anymore. he's like, so the rest of the 40K universe. No. I mean, there was gameplay. My impressions. Let me do this. My impressions of the gameplay that I saw on Into the Warp. I saw a lot more spaced out combat. I mean, I saw a lot more gunfire, obviously, because they were dealing with a full map there. But I saw combat was more spread out, until it came time to, like, cap a point, and then obviously people would huddle up on the points and defend them like crazy. I really liked the flow that I saw. I also liked the... you could definitely see the interplay between classes, because that was always the problem. And this is something you can talk about. Back when they were just doing 5v5 or 8v8 or whatever, you you couldn't really experiment with your team comp a lot, and you couldn't put a lot of, like, you couldn't put librarians in if you were needing to take a lot of tactical stuff. So whereas now, or not librarians, sorcerers, whereas now, there were situations in the video, or in the gameplay, where suddenly out of nowhere there'd be a psyker roll up and hit you with the warp instability, and his bolter guys would just gun you down, which is exactly what they were wanting the system to do. And like I said, in the old gameplays, you didn't have the numbers necessary to make these kind of decisions or these kind of team comps really, really work. You know, I don't know if that was your experience regarding the old videos.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the more people they've gotten in, the more you've gotten the ability to see what sort of different compositions would be like in terms of, you know, sorcerers and apothecaries and things like that. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I would imagine, and this is not something that you should comment on, but I would imagine that now that you've got larger groups of people, you're going to see, first off, more people. I would assume more people jumping into tactical because they're the quote unquote hero class, because can't take points without them. With a couple of people who have kind of dedicated roles, which that's what happened in Planetside. You know, I would play engineer because, yeah, I've got some people who do light assault. Yeah, I've got some people who do infiltrator. Yeah, I've got some people who are just amazing messiah medics. But, like, I'm an engineer. My job is to go and repair things and, you know, set up turrets and stuff. So I'd imagine that you're going to have your dedicated devastators, your dedicated apothecaries, but you're, by and large, people are going to play tactical. Personally, I want to play a boy. I want to play an orc boy.
Well, that tends to happen in most sort of shooter style games, though, doesn't it? I mean, the guys at my workplace were heavily into Battlefield at one point, and there were guys who would say, "Oh, you know, I always play engineer. You know, I'm always flying the helicopter. This sort of stuff, you know." So that people tend to fall into those roles in most games that are,
you know,
shooter based.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, whenever you, more class based than anything else. But even then, even in non class games, you still run into situations where somebody just wants to use the saw. You know, somebody just wants to use the the knife. You know, so now that we are done with the uncomfortable part of our show, we can discuss the wider 40K universe that we are not under NDAs about. So,
yay.
Yeah. Let's see. So, first things first, we have miniature news. The cold
tau.
Winter.
Tau.
New tau. The cold war, the cold winter is over for 40K. granted, they are still pretty hard on for Age of Sigmar, for Rage of Sigmar. But 40K is starting to come back with product lines. The current one is, of course, the Tau are coming back. And not only are the Tau coming back, but there is, like, they went and they knocked over a Battletech store and like Mech Warrior store and stuff. And they have come out with a bunch of new battle suits, particularly the XV-128, which looks like something straight out of Battletech. And then the, oh my god, what is that new thing called? The KV something something Tauka or something like that.
The KX-139.
Yeah, the KX-139 Taunar battle suit.
Taunar Supremacy Armor.
Yeah, it is a, I think it's a Forge World exclusive right now. But it is the, like, super god-awful mega beast of all power suits.
Armed with a tri-axis ion cannon and a pulse ordnance multi-driver. Whatever the hell that is.
Oh, no. Have you not seen the picture of this thing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my god. This thing is monstrous, dude. Like, I'm trying to find a picture of it. Oh, okay. I see it now. It stands. There's a picture. Oh, I found this. Oh, my god. That thing is huge. Oh, my.
It is Mahosa's.
Oh, no, no. No, no, no. Give me a second here. I'm going to send you this picture through TeamSpeak, and you can look at it. It stands taller than a Terminator, one of the medium-based Terminators, is the size of its toe. There's a, to give you an idea, because obviously we're not a visual podcast, there is a picture of it alongside some popular bigatures in the 40K range. To give you an idea, for those of you who are 40K fans, a Lightning Claw Space Wolf Terminator on medium base is approximately the size of this thing's front toe. An Imperial Knight comes up to, what would you say that is, about his hip?
About his waist, yeah.
Yeah, and he is just a tad bit shorter than a Warhound, than a Forge World Warhound Titan. And I don't know what is that thing all the way to the right? Is that a Heresy thing?
That looks almost like a Warlord.
Yeah, but aren't Warlords like bigger?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It looks like a Warlord, but not. It could be another Knight, to be honest.
Well, no, because the Knights are those little hunched over things right there that look kind of like Kador War Machine. I kind of want to use that. Now that I look at that Imperial Knight, I want to use that Knight as a Kador, like, gigantic thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Good. Point is, the Town Ka is ridiculous. The XV-128 is only slightly less ridiculous. And the Tau, I mean, because the thing is this, don't get me wrong, the Tau have amazing infantry, and they have amazing kind of moving things around, survivability, they're total glass cannons, but
mobility.
Mobility is a big thing for them, and their power suits are just amazing and ridiculous, so I can't wait to see the rules on these. I'm just at this point looking at that model, I'm really glad I don't play 40K as much anymore.
See the rules on these.
Oh my gosh. So this brings us to the video games. Couple of things. First off, the Eisenhorn Xenos trailer came out. We told you we would talk about it. And my summary of it is, if you were to take The Last of Us, any entry in the Arkham series, any entry in the Assassin's Creed series, and put it in Warhammer 40K. So what I like to refer to this is Eisenhorn Xenos, a.k.a. The Last of Arkham Creed 40K. It is... you kind of move around and you fight, and it's a rhythm-based thing. So as the little... as the thing pulses, you hit the button, and that causes you to attack things. And then you... but then there's stealth and there's assassinations, like from behind the back, you can kill people that way. But there's also kind of a stealth thing that's sort of Eagle Vision, but it also reminded me, well, it's his psychic powers, but like, okay, the closer a target is, you can very clearly see that they're human or whatever, but the farther out they get, they turn into kind of this outline, this aura outline, kind of like in The Last of Us, and that's why I call it The Last of Us, because it's got that silhouette outline, and then as you get further out, it just turns into like a glowing, like, bob sitting in the air. Just a glowing orb sitting in the air, so you can tell that there is a contact, and then once it gets closer, you can see that it's humanoid, and then once it gets closer, you may be able to make out details of it without actually seeing it, which is kind of cool and kind of plays with the psychic... you know, whatnot. So
it still feels a very Metal Gear.
It's very, like I said, it's Metal Gear, Last of Us, Arkham Asylum, Assassin's Creed, and Eisenhorn. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do with it, because that's really all they showed was some combat and some running around. But that's the thing, like Eisenhorn, there was maybe one fight per book, really. You know, there wasn't really any need for level running and all this other stuff. There was a lot of decision making, a lot of, you know, do I cross this line kind of deal.
But the Eisenhorn series was just begging for an investigation style computer game.
Investigation, yeah. I see, the thing is this, like, investigation, narrative storytelling, so somewhere between, like, The Last of Us and any of the Telltale series, you know?
Or Mass Effect, even,
where your decisions actually have lasting impact. That'll be interesting to see how they play this. I mean, we haven't gotten much out of them, but it's very clear the direction that they're heading, so, and right now, I'm not exactly a fan of the art style they're using. It looks like a sophomore 3D modeling project, but it's still a pretty good sophomore 3D modeling project. So I'm willing to kind of give it the benefit of the doubt right now, especially since they're
Bear in mind, is this without the polish?
Yeah, this was a hey, look, this is our cinematic theatric teaser. This was a teaser. This wasn't even the full trailer. Yeah. So, I mean, clearly it's not a Lord Inquisitor type project, but it's also, like, the gameplay looked pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see a gameplay trailer, like an actual gameplay that people are actually able to touch and get their dirty hands on. I broke down and I watched.
Then onto a game that no one wants to get their hands on.
You know how I've always said that, like, I make snap decisions about things, and then I go back and I think about them, and they're not as bad as I think they are? First off, we now know, I did research on Inquisitor Martyr. I did some more research on Inquisitor Martyr, and I actually watched the Gamescom video. It is, in terms of, you know, we've always been like, what is an action RPG? But Inquisitor Martyr is a Diablo-like, it's a Diablo-esque action RPG. Top-down, clicky, save the day, I'd say get the girl, but save the Imperium, blah, blah, blah. the Gamescom trailer, you were right about that dude with no personality, like, straight up.
Yeah,
because he was like, hey, well. The sad part is, ready for this?
It's clear Neocore Games don't know a single thing.
Well, the sad part is, like, I was sitting here and listening to the guy talk, and I was waiting, because, what was it, an episode or two episodes back, where you were like, this is a chainsword, it's a fairly common thing in the 41st millennium. I was listening to this, and I was waiting for him to say that exact line, just so I could be like, oh my god, he said it! Anyway,
I really do think these guys know nothing about 40K.
Yeah, it's... And they
were just given a treatment and just make this game.
And it kind of bears out, because in the gameplay mission, first off, in the gameplay mission, you're playing an Inquisitor and you're going through and you're doing an Inquisitor thing, right? They haven't been really specific about what the story is yet. But apparently there are a couple of free Inquisitors, and then you'll be able to buy other Inquisitors, and they play differently. And the one that they showed was I think he was called a Crusader or something like that, which is the melee...
It looks like Witch Hunter Tyrus from the Inquisitor.
It does look like Witch Hunter Tyrus. But the thing is, it's very... this is a Crusader, and the Crusaders are more melee-oriented, and then you're going to have your other Inquisitors that do things different ways. And I'm like, so this is a class-based Diablo-like clickfest in the 40K millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There were two things that jumped out at me. First off, I'm going to handle these in reverse order. First off, his quote, you're an Inquisitor, which basically means you're going to be just as fearsome as the monsters on these decks. That's just wrong. That's wrong.
An
Inquisitor is politically powerful, but ultimately he's a human, potentially in power armor. He or she, I don't mean to be politically insensitive there, he or she is just a human in a universe where mind-bending, flesh-ripping demons can just tear through a human skull and annihilate an entire village because they can. An Inquisitor by himself is nothing. Play a single Inquisitor on a 40K tabletop and you're dead. Because, yes, they may be impressive. Yes, they may be ingenious or cunning about how they do things, but like, let's do the list here, shall we? Torquemada Cotillas, he is in control of an entire sector. What is it? Eisenhorn has a very large intelligence network, and he also has a bound demon host in Cherubiel.
Yep.
Gideon Ravener is one of the most powerful psychers ever. Like, ever. And and you can just go down the list of the important psychers.
Jenna Orakiel?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you go down the list of important psychers, and they themselves are nothing. They have a very strong will, but ultimately what makes an Inquisitor is the people he surrounds himself with. Which is why I actually like the Dark Heresy role-playing game, because it really is, you know, it's not about the Inquisitor, it's about his retinue and how they get the job done, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then the other two games I kind of wanted to talk about today were games that I have actually physically put my hands on, and I've been playing them. And in one case, I've been confused but enjoying it, and in another case, I have just been tickled pink, and I love to sit here and play it for hours on end. The game that I am happy with, or tickled with, but a little confused, is Dark Nexus Arena. I got a chance. I got one of the Alienware. Here's the deal, guys. Mm-hmm. Alienware is working with the company that makes Dark Nexus to crank out keys, just hand keys over constantly to new players. You are getting to be honest, like, I was going to completely write this off because I'm not really a big MOBA player. But the more that I've been playing Heroes of the Storm, the more I'm like, let me give Dark Nexus a try. I have no interest in playing Dota or League, but that's because it's Dota and it's League, and I really don't want to deal with them. I'm playing Hearthstone for the giggles of being able to be Uther and, you know, all these other Blizzard characters, and I'm playing Dark Nexus because it's 40k.
To be honest, I stayed away from League of Legends, but I got into the MOBA scene with Smite.
Yeah, and the thing is this, like, the WASD thing, it's distracting.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, but it's distracting more than, I'm used to the Heroes A-move type thing, you know what I'm saying? And I have a feeling that the more I play Dark Nexus, the better I'll be with it. The problem is, here are my two problems with Dark Nexus Arena. First off, you can't ever tell how many people are on at any given moment. And you click join queue and you wait for teams to build.
And you wait.
The only way that I have ever reliably gotten games is that, first off, one of the fans has put together a Facebook group. So you jump into the Facebook group and you're like, hey, I'm playing. Is anybody on? The other way that you can play, the other thing is that same person has a TeamSpeak server that you can sign up for and you can jump in and say, hey, is anybody in the game playing right now? Otherwise, you're just waiting. And there are certain times of night where there's nothing going on. It's just dead. It's like a ghost town, which is sad because once you get into the game, it's a fairly enjoyable, I mean, it's a conventional MOBA, but it is a fairly enjoyable experience. Plus, you get to geek out in 40K.
It annoyed me though, because I was waiting for so long that my days playing Space Marine, I waited less time to get into a game.
Oh, well, the thing is this.
Dead now.
Well, the thing is this. From what I have heard, the EU servers are trash. From what I've heard from the Dark Nexus community, the EU servers are damn near non-existent. And that's saying something, being as the North American servers are basically non-existent.
Fair enough.
But even then, the couple of times I have gotten in to play, the first time I played a Khorne Berserker because I was like, yeah, Khorne Berserker, I'll get in and melee the hell out of things. And then I got shot to death. And the sad part is, I played the Khorne Berserker because if I liked the way that the Berserker played, I was going to spend the money for Karn. Because almost every... I think they've got like eight different classes. Like Orc Boy, Storm Boy, Scout, Terminator, Tau.
Tau, Fire Warrior, Ethereal.
It's Fire Warrior, Ethereal. And then you've got, for Chaos, you've got... Berserker.
Oh, yeah, the Apothecary.
And there's the Apothecary. Those are your core classes. But then within each one, like if you pick Space Marine Scout, you can then get the Wolf Scout skin. Or for
in traditional MOBA
style. Yeah, in traditional MOBA style. And what sold me was you get the Khorne Berserker and Karn the Betrayer is a skin. And I was like, yeah, I can play Karn. And I was like, wait, before I spend money, let me play the game. So like I said, the first one I played Khorne, I played a Berserker, and I enjoyed myself. But ultimately, I was getting gunned down by the Scout and the Tau Fire Warrior before I could even get into range.
I was gonna say, I started out with a Tau Fire Warrior.
Yeah. The second game, I played a Tau Fire Warrior, and that was pretty fun, and we ultimately lost that fight. We won the one where I was a Berserker, but we lost the other one. And then the game that I've been enjoying the shit out of this game, is Death Watch. It is on the iPhone and the iPad. I think it's on Android as well, and there has been an announcement that there is an enhanced edition coming to PC. Here's the deal. It is a beautiful game on the iPad. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to look like when it comes to PC. It is a turn-based squad game, very similar to... this is the same company, Rodeo Games. They're the same company that did Warhammer Quest for the iPad.
Yeah.
It is a mechanically cleaner version of Warhammer Quest. It is a very good turn-based squad game. I have been enjoying the hell out of it. Now, yes, there's a microtrans system where you can get card packs that have new Death Watch Marines and new war gear.
Yeah, but that's all over the place now.
But it's all over the place. But what I do like is, first off, it's a sensible system. It's a simple system, even though it includes things like Overwatch, overcharging plasma weapons, a lot of complex things. But it's still very simple, very easy to understand. The other thing I like is that currently you are only dealing with three chapters that are seconding to the Death Watch: the Ultramarines, the Blood Angels, and the Space Wolves. And you can rename the Marines, like craziness.
Oh yeah.
So really, like Ultramarines, Blood Angels, Space Wolves, renameable Marines. It's the campaign has been pretty cool, and it's a mix of different types of gameplay. So, like, what's not to like about this game? And I don't remember how much I paid for it, but it's worth it. Like, it wasn't unreasonable. I think it's worth money. I think I paid like $4 for it or something, but it's for $4, it's totally worth it. And if this is any indication, then the enhanced edition is going to be well worth whatever I pay for it.
Yes, $3.99 over here.
Okay, that's about the same here. It's definitely not a game that I'd pay $120 to get into the closed alpha for, but it is definitely a worthwhile addition to the 40K staple. Because we've said this before, 40K games are either hit or miss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sold on Inquisitor Martyr. I will probably own it because I'm a glutton for punishment. I will definitely own Eisenhorn because I love everything about Eisenhorn. Both of those games are kind of in the middle of the mark right now. I can't tell whether they're going to be good or not. Arena's on the positive side.
Yeah, it's not enough of them
about. Yeah, Arena is on the positive side, but not really fully on the positive side. But Death Watch is definitely in the must-own category if you're a 40K player.
To be honest, I'm tempted to stay away from Inquisitor Martyr. It's just I don't trust the company that makes it.
I'm not 100% sold on the company that makes it, but what I am, but I'm in a house full of Diablo nerds, and so like, just on my computer, I have Diablo, I have Marvel Heroes 2015, which is made by the guy that made Diablo, and then we routinely play D3 on the PS4. So
nice.
Because couch co-op is amazing. So that being said, like it's a Diablo game. It's a Diablo-like game. I'll definitely get into it. Oh, the other thing I didn't like about them is that they said that there's somebody telling your Inquisitor what to do, which if you know anything about the 40K, like the 40K universe, the Inquisition sits one step below the Emperor. There is no one above them. So someone sitting here telling you what to do, no, that does not fly.
It can only be the Emperor, really.
Right, and I really don't think the Emperor is talking specifically to you.
No.
Anyway, no. So that is, we're kind of at the end of our content. I was kind of nervous that we only have 2 pages worth of show notes. I was kind of nervous about us filling an hour.
we can talk
about things, which is funny because the first half of the thing, we're like, well, we can't really talk about this, but. So we're adding a new segment here right at the end of every episode called Devotions of the Faithful, which is our iTunes reviews. If you listen to us, this is the thing. If you listen to us on Stitcher or on iTunes or just from our website, consider going into iTunes and writing us a review, giving us stars. I don't even care if it's a 1-star review. I don't care if it's a 3-star review. Just go in and review us. Let us know what you think about us and things you think that we need to be changed. It's our option whether we change them or not, but if you think that there's something on there that you'd like to see more of or less of, definitely let us know. We live on this feedback, and our standing in the iTunes charts is depending on our ratings, and right now we only have 2. We talked about, was it Jonas Dog last week? We're going to talk about our other 5-star review. We actually got another 5-star review. Two 5-star reviews. That's 100%. Yeah! 100% 5-star. Tell all your friends. Anyway, our other 5-star review is from Lilturiel. I'm sorry if I screwed your name up. It was Gigabyte's fault.
I'm thinking maybe that's supposed to be Lilturiel.
Lilturiel.
And if it is... If it is, that's possibly a Legacy of Kain reference.
Awesome. I'm glad, but I missed the reference. But Gigabyte didn't miss the reference, so you remember that in your review. But Lil Terrell says, I could read all this, but it ain't. But I ain't got no time for that. But ain't nobody got no time for that. Good job. I also love the lore segments as well. It's like 2 podcasts in one for me. So definitely, I'm not really a beggar, I'm not really a whatever, but I am asking that if over the course of the last 18 episodes, if you have derived even 3 chuckles from this show, you know, do us a favor. We don't currently ask sponsors to give us money. We don't ask you to give sponsors money. We don't ask you to donate to any kind of crowdfunding or Patreon. You know, I would love to send swag you guys way, and I would love to have you contribute to Patreon, but that's not something that we do right now. What we do ask you for is word of mouth and passing us around and letting other people listen to us. Because if you enjoy what we're doing, then other people are bound to enjoy it too. And we would very much appreciate the opportunity to expose ourselves to them. Wait, no, not that. Have them be aware of our podcast. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, yeah, yeah. So definitely, you know, write us a review. Let us know what you think. Talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. All that information is going to come on the bumper at the end of the show. And this brings us down to our thought for the day. And as always, Gigabyte, would you like to send us out?
One cannot consider the fate of a single man, nor 10, nor 1,000. Billions will live or die by our actions here, and we have not the luxury to count the cost.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Voxarcona.